Welcome to Eucharist Podcast, where we're exploring what it looks like for a community of disciples to live all of life in reference to Christ. The following is a sermon given by Father Kyle Logan on November 13th, 2016.
Be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I have a quick confession to make. I am really terrible about looking at my calendar and seeing dates line up and special events that are listed in the calendar. And this week was no exception. Ryan asked me to preach on this day probably like a month and a half ago. And I said, sure, why not? There won't be anything big happening in America at that time. But I took little into account what actually was going to take place this week. And all of a sudden, Wednesday morning gets here and the world is falling apart. So I quickly go to the lectionary and try to find something nice to preach about. But lo and behold, what are all the texts about? They're about judgment. Wonderful. So thank you, Ryan, for giving me this week to preach.
You're welcome.
If you live under a rock, something happened this week, and it was the election of the new president of the United States. But before you get nervous that I'm going to air out all of my political leanings behind the lectern, know that I keep my politics where they belong, Facebook. But nonetheless, judgment is the theme for us this morning. And maybe you're here this morning and you see this theme and think it's appropriate, but you might be thinking it appropriate for different reasons. You might be thinking that our president-elect is the righteous judgment that we want, or it is the condemnation that we deserve. And I honestly don't know where you stand, and quite frankly, I don't care where you stand. So please don't talk to me about politics when we're eating donuts in the back during refreshments. But sermon prep this on Tuesday morning, we usually do like a little Tuesday morning sermon prep together as a staff, and we just read the passages together. And so you can imagine going through judgment passages, the conversation didn't last very long. And Ryan always asks the same question every Tuesday, so where's the good news here? And that question really stuck with me this week. What is the good news of judgment? I think it's a question that's really difficult for us to answer as Americans. Americans really don't like to be judged. My time in the South for grad school, there was this common phrase that you would hear pretty often. I don't know, I'm not sure I've heard it much out here since I've moved back, but it's the, don't tread on me. Americans really don't like to be judged. Our individualized sense of autonomy hates the concept of a judge. And so when we get to things like judgment and the final judgment, we tend to lower our voices just a notch. We boldly proclaim the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the goodness of God. But we get to the final judgment and our voice comes down just a touch because we're a little afraid what people might think. But that won't do, not for us at least. We can't ignore the final judgment. We pray it each morning in morning prayer with the Venite, for he comes to judge the earth and the peoples in faithfulness. We recite it every Sunday in the Nicene Creed, for he comes to judge the living and the dead. We cannot disconnect our theology from tradition merely because we don't like what it has to say in our culture. Judgment brings this sense of palpable anxiety, doesn't it? I think the reason why it does that is because there's no middle ground in judgment. You're either vindicated or you're condemned. Can't be both, can't be in the middle. And I honestly don't think judgment is meant to make us feel safe and secure. I think it's a good thing to tremble when you think about judgment. To sit in the hands of God and be a little unsteady, feel that sense of anxiety over judgment. Quentin Tarantino, a famous movie producer, film director guy, has this very interesting way in portraying his films. They're really hyperbolic in the violence that he portrays. Limbs are cut off, bodies are disfigured, and it happens all so nonchalantly. And when people ask him, you know, Quentin, why do you make your movies so violent? This isn't real world. He responds to them, this is realer than the real world. In Quentin Tarantino's films, there is no sanctity of human life whatsoever in his movie universe. In one scene in the movie Inglourious Basterds, all of the Nazis are in this theater and they start showing propaganda of a Nazi soldier who is sniping Allied soldiers, and he kills at least 100. And people in the theater are cheering at the sense of this violence. Tarantino's world depicts a totally desensitized, amoral, and at the core, a nihilistic sense of the world. God is dead in Tarantino's films. And like him or not, Tarantino's films display the world in which the core of our humanity has filled the vacuum that the death of God has left. There is no justice in Quentin Tarantino's films. In fact, you'll never see a police officer in any of his movies, because the sense of a police officer brings about judgment and justice. And there is none of that in the nihilistic world that he portrays. So I ask you again, what is the good news of judgment? I think it's embedded in Tarantino's art. If there is no God to pass judgment, then this world is morally neutral and thus a terrible world. If there is no God to pass judgment, then this world is morally neutral and a terrible world. But if there is a God to pass judgment, then this world is not beyond healing. There's chance for healing if there is a God to pass judgment. The goodness of God's judgment means that he's not quite done yet with us. Even though evil surrounds us, he will make things new. And so as I reflected on this, I thought to myself, what picture of violence could outdo that which Tarantino displays in his realer than real world movies? And I think that depiction of violence is shown on Christ when he's hanging on the cross for 6 hours, bleeding to death. And what makes this so painful for us is that he hung there in our place. The judgment that we rightly deserve, he took upon himself. This violent act of crucifixion, it only took 3 nails to hang him up, and he bled to death for us. Jesus becomes the judged judge. But we all know it doesn't end there. And as it says in Malachi, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing on its wings. The sun always rises. And his coming righteousness is as sure as the promise of the sunrise itself. But today, maybe you feel the heaviness of sin weighing on you. A man once came to Charles Spurgeon and was seeking pastoral advice, and he went up to him and he said, Pastor Spurgeon, I am so base. To which Charles Spurgeon replies, does the sun also shine on dunghills? You cannot be too vile. God's mercy is like the sun. There is no charge for sunlight. Guiltiest of the guilty, as your conscience calls you, this promise is yours. What is there that we could add to sunlight? When you go to Dolores Park on a sunny day to read a book, do you bring a candle or a flashlight with you? No, that would be purposeless. Granted, some people bring lighters with them to Dolores Park, but that's for a totally different reason than what I'm discussing right now. The streetlights don't shine on a shiny day. And so it is with salvation. You can't hold a match to it. The lightness shines because the Son of Righteousness has risen. And he is bringing healing on his wings. Each Sunday we say the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. And when he comes, righteousness and healing is on his tail. Healing is really what we desperately need as a people, and I think that's what I learned this week, that this world is not morally neutral and that God will make things right. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to the Eucharist Church podcast. You can check us out online at eucharistsf.org, and feel free to come worship with us any Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We meet at 1504 Bryant Street, San Francisco, California.